Shalom to the true bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to the lovers of truth also worldwide. I'm Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. I am also a teacher of the Word of God. Brethren, according to God's divine agenda, we all know that we are now in the season of the manifestation of the virgins of this age. The Lord Jesus Christ, in a parable of the virgins in Matthew 25 from verse 1, if we read it through, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2 says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. That's where the emphasis is, the wise and the foolish virgins. The difference between the wise and the foolish ones is from verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After all came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And we are all expecting the coming of the Lord. Definitely, this age shall produce both the wise and the foolish virgins, which shall be manifested by their response to the shout message that's delivered to us in this age. The shout message is the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, concerning the coming of the Lord. It starts with a shout. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ refers to as the midnight cry. The fan in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 3, verse 12, is now blowing to purge his flock and separate the wheat from the chaff in this age. For, according to Matthew 13, verse 30, the wheat and the tares are now maturing, and it will soon be time for the separation. Heresies are abounding everywhere now for those approved to be made manifest. But remember, approval comes only when tested against the absolute word of God, the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, remember the Bible says, let a man so account of us of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Also in Matthew 24 and verse 45, if we read it through to verse 51, he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And he's talking about the fivefold ministry. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I believe, brethren, as also a servant of God to serve the meat in this season of perfection, under the harvesting rain known as the latter rain of James 5:8. And brethren, also, as one of the scribes also instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, there is need for me to take all my followers again to look into the end time message or doctrines to ensure the lambs are properly trimmed. Once again, I am Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. Please, I invite you to join me as we take a look again at some of these doctrines with a view to properly trim our lamps in a series we will be taking titled Trimming the Lamp. Stay tuned and you will not regret being part of this session. Shalom and shalom again. Amen. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide and welcome to another episode of the Rapture Watch. And in the series, we titled Trimming the Lamp. And of course, to trim the lamp is to trim your understanding of the mystery of the gospel of salvation, otherwise known as the mystery of God. And we are back with a series we are beginning. I say we because I won't be doing that alone. We have other teachers in the church that could continue. Whoever you see here will continue. We'll be starting today with the series titled The Parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parables spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Parables spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many. There are about 36 of them. And I think I can even say there are 39, depending on how we really look at it, 39 parables. But we'll be looking at about 36 of them. It's not something long. We'll just be picking them one after the other and then just try to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ made us to understand this great mystery of redemption. We will start today by looking at confusion that always arises when people ask, what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Now, you will notice that John the Baptist came in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. That's where we first hear of it. In those days came John the Baptist, if we read it from verse 1, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2 says, he was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's where we first hear the word, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember that he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ himself came in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to verse 8, as he sent out his disciples, these 12 Jesus sent forth, if we read up to verse 8, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he then said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. At this juncture, let me quickly add here that if you notice again verse 7, of this same Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, as you go, this is the commission. Preach, saying, what are they to preach? Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preach. The disciples were sent to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in verse 8, he now added, this is different from preaching. He said, heal the sick as they go preaching. The commission is to preach. And when they preach, then they will heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That is what he used to arm them to go and preach the gospel. But that is just for clarity. My emphasis here is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But if you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, Apostle Paul said something here. He said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The same Jesus Christ again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. When he was teaching us how to pray, one of the things he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, thy kingdom here is the kingdom of God. Now, in Romans 14 verse 17, another terminology is used there. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He called it the kingdom of God. And in Luke 17 and verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ again made another statement. He said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. You see, now we are sharing it, it's using interchangeably. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, maybe if we read it from verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. But the same hymn again in Matthew 10 said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. They were accusing him. And so he had to reply to them. But if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And remember Matthew 6 verse 33. Where he gave this admonishment. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, but you see, now the more interesting one is Matthew 13 verse 11. Matthew 13 verse 11. That's the more interesting one to me. He said, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Now, the same narration by Luke, Luke chapter 8, verse 10, the same narration of what Jesus Christ spoke. And he said, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Luke was repeating the same thing. He said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if you notice again, Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:21. Now, this is what he said. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see? Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into what? The kingdom of heaven. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's the same thing. So, what is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom established from heaven. That's all. It's a kingdom controlled from heaven. It's a kingdom that is not of men. Men elect their leaders, appoint other men to rule them. Some of them come by inheritance, like monarchy. But this one is not like the men. My kingdom is not of this world, because the kingdom of God is God himself that is ruling. He's the one in charge. And so it's very, very important. And now concerning this kingdom, it is not given to everyone to understand. It is not given to everyone to understand. Except he reveal it to you, you can never know it. Unless he reveal it by himself to you. That is the mystery of redemption. That's why we say that salvation is not for all. It is only for all who, through foreknowledge, God has predestinated them. And because he has predestinated them, their names are written in the book of life. They are they all referred to. Very interesting, isn't it? That's why it's good for us to study. You notice in Matthew 13, after you spoke the parable, one of the parables of the sower there, from verse 10 and verse 11, he said something here. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? What did he say? He answered and said unto them, because, you see, it is given unto you. Who are they you? Those whose names are written in the book of life. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Go to verse 34 of this same Matthew 13, 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude that come for his crusade in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. Why was he doing that? He was going to fulfill a prophecy that had been given earlier in the Psalm David gave it, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. How? We are in parables. In parables. And so they now ask him, okay, declare unto us the parable of the tares. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, you see it, and went into the house. And disciples came unto him. What were they looking for? They are the only ones. They are the only ones. They are the ones that will search and search and search until they know. They are the ones. He said, they follow him. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And unless he declare it unto you, you will never know it. And so, confirming what he, Jesus Christ, has spoken earlier in John chapter 6 and from verse 41, let's read it up to verse 45. He says, the Jews, they murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Can you see? It was always parable, 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 which one is bread again? And they said, is this, because he said he came from heaven. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets. And that's why the disciples had to follow him. And they shall be all taught of God. It's God himself that will teach you. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Very interesting, isn't it? Verse 60. That is a spiritual work. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, because the Father has not shown it to them, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? It's because it's confusing. When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? He said unto them, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Wow. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me. No man can understand salvation except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? That is, won't you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Take note, verse 68 again. Take note, verse 68. It was Simon Peter that answered. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And they never say, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Why? Go back to verse 65. Why did he say so? He said that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, if you go back to Matthew 16, then you understand why Peter spoke confidently. Because if you read it from verse 13, what did Jesus try to say? He said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Because that is the greatest controversy that exists in the whole world today. Who is Jesus? And Simon Peter, the same Peter now, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. The emphasis here, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now say, so it takes only the Father that will reveal him. So Peter had a divine revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Because he had a revelation because the Father revealed it to him. Why? In Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. Luke chapter 10 and verse, let's read it from verse 17. He says, and the 70, no, he gave the 70 authority to go out and preach. Returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Now, I must stress something here. Why will he make that statement? They are telling him, come and see what is happening. Come and see power. We spoke, devils are subject to us. And then he's telling you, in answer, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why did he make that statement? The next verse gives us a key to why he said it. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Then he added, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Then you now understand why he said, I behave Satan. That is, if it is a fell from heaven, if it is power, Satan had it. Anointing, Satan had it. You see, so we don't brag on anointing. We don't brag that Satan is cast out. Demons are subject to us, as we see men of God doing these days. Their approval, your position in God's kingdom is not determined or confirmed by the miracle signs and wonder, because there were not 70 there. Later on, did they not reduce to 12? Were they not 1,000, multitude, 5,000, where he fed them, they were following up and down. At the end of his ministry of 3 years, over 3 years, 3.5 years or so of his ministry, with all the fame he had, by the time that the Holy Ghost will be coming down, there were only 120 left. That's why he said, and they are the ones whose names are written in the book of life. That's why he said, rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. But now, somebody will ask me, how do I know my name is written in the book of life? They are the ones that will receive the Holy Ghost. How do I know I have the Holy Ghost? A tree is known by her fruit. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now let's read on up to verse 24. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast done what? Hid these things from the wise and prudent. How did he hide it? Using parables. And has revealed them unto babes. How does he reveal it to them? He comes down and explains this mystery to them. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You can't question him. Now, all things are delivered to me of my Father, so that you will know why Peter said, we know that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. No man knows who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples. I love this. And said privately to them, privately, blessed are the eyes. We see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Why did he say so? Because all those prophets prophesied. You can imagine that Isaiah prophesied that a virgin shall give birth. He didn't see it. But you hear, you are aware how I was born. That's what he's telling them. You know, Isaiah prophesied, you know, about what he will go through and rejected and everything. You are the one that see it. He couldn't see it. You saw it. And many other prophecies that went forth concerning him. So, we now know that this salvation is not for all. And this is the evidence. What did he say he will do in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 13? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Glory be to God. Even our election is from the foundation of the world. We are predestinated from the foundation of the world. We are chosen in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. What a great mystery, Apostle Paul said, if the princes of this world had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Brethren, we the elect of God, we call ourselves the bride of Jesus Christ. These are the things that excite us, these revelations. And not the miracles. And not the signs and the wonders. Knowing the mystery behind the signs and the wonders, we know better. That you can do all this and yet not Christ will not know you. You can cast out devils, perform miracles, signs and wonders, yet Christ has not known you. What is the evidence that Christ has known you? He will descend to your level and explain these mysteries to babes. He called them babes because of the condition of our heart. Ever wanting to learn, ever depending on him, not on our own skills, our ability, our theology, our philosophy. They are the ones. For what did he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see? For what will happen to them? He says, how did he put it? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is also the kingdom of heaven. And so, now, essentially, the kingdom of heaven is the church of Jesus Christ on earth. The head, the Bible tells us, is Christ himself. We are his body. The body of Christ, the church. He is the head of the church. The Bible says so. And the church is that kingdom. And that is why the word of God is our guide. That is what he is. And our king is now trying to tell us how to live our lives. Then, and how to walk in the kingdom. And then he began to use these parables. Some of them are just similitudes. Some of them, you know, instead of speaking straight, he uses a language that, you know, we take wisdom or divine revelation to understand. Look at the first one. It's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 to verse 16. He mentioned two things there, but we just compress them even as he himself also compressed them for today. He said, ye here is talking to the disciples. And he's talking to all believers. He's talking to all of us. Ye are the salt of the earth. So, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Then he added, the second similitude he used, he said, ye are the light of the world. So we have the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill, he said, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he added in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want you to take note that we are Christians. If we are Christians, it is because the same spirit that is in Christ is the same spirit that is in us. What quickens us is the same spirit that went with Jesus Christ to the grave, as we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, you see, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, bring to life your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And this same chapter 8, verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9, they tell us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so, if you have Christ, this is what you have. This is who Christ is. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Concerning Jesus, he said, in him was life. In Christ Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. I repeat, the life that was in Christ was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And always remember that Christ came, and the Bible describes him that he is the image of the invisible God. Now, and he's a light, and remember that God is a light that no man can dwell, can approach. That is the description of God. Now, if God is the light and he came and dwelt in Christ, the Bible says so. So Christ was a carrier of God, that great light. And light here, why did he carry that light to come? He came to shine the light in darkness. That is why he says that the works that he did, he said, it is the Father that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. He said, it's not him. He said, I do nothing but what my Father shows me. So you will understand what he's trying to put here, that the light that he shows is for the purpose of shining in darkness. And so you will see a great similitude between the sun and the moon. We understand that the moon has no light of its own. It is the light received from the sun that he giveth it and shines it in the night. And so also we hear that in the night, the dark world, Christ came to dwell in us so that we can shine this light in this dark world. That is the evidence that you are a Christian. What is this light? The light is the word of God. We see Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. What did he say? He says, but the path of the just is us. It's us, the shining light, that shining more and more unto the perfect day. And in Psalm 119 and verse 105, Psalm 119 and verse 105, how did he describe the word of God? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we know light is to shine where there's darkness. If there's light, if there's no darkness, you don't need light. You see, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It will show you the way to go, and the light unto my pathway. And in verse 130 of that same Psalm 119, Psalm 130, it said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, for the commandment, which is the word, is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. So, you know, if we are the carriers of the word of God, then we are carriers of light. And that is why we are supposed to be the light of the world. We are the way, one, to show the world how to live their life. But unfortunately, you now understand that it is the world that is showing us how to go. You can see now, instead of the world to copy us, we are the ones copying the world. We are bringing comedians to the church. Instead of going to where they are doing comedy to preach the word, we are bringing them to the church. Have you not seen what they call cultural dances in the church? And you see how they do all. You know better than me what I'm talking about. Church is not a football club. Churches celebrate Valentine. You see? Churches celebrate Christmas. Everything that is done in the world, except the world, they have imported it. Instead of us to chase it away, because they are works of darkness. They have brought them there, for gross darkness has covered the whole world. And God needs us to shine for this light of the world. Hallelujah. We are stars. That is why the identification of Jesus Christ to the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Can we see it? Verse 1 and verse 2. Maybe if we read it. How did he identify it? Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. What were they saying? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They are wise men. They are astrologers. They are giving their own interpretation of what they understand by a king is born. They see from the star. But the truth is, God was telling them that light is coming to this dark world. For that is who he is. That he has released a light and see where the light is. And Jesus Christ is the light. And we must all sing, we walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. What did he say? Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. We are God's representatives on earth. That is who we are. We are. And he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Why did he say we are the salt of the earth? What he's saying here is that we are the only one that is making this world worth living by our life. The whole world is completely in darkness. Everything turned upside down. The whole world is like an animal kingdom. And no true love anywhere on earth. Anybody showing you love is because it's looking for something from you. We are the only ones that can make life worth living on earth. We are the salt because we will make somebody's life. We help the poor without needing anything. We preach comfort. Remember, if you are a carrier of the Lord Jesus Christ, see who he is. He lived a life of sacrifice, complete sacrifice. Sacrifice, sacrifice. He dies that other may live, that we may live. You see, he said, we sing this song, in sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. That's who he is to us. And he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. There's food without salt has no taste. And salt is also a preservative. We are the reason why this earth has not yet been destroyed. Destroyed by both God and Satan. And that is exactly what Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if we read it from verse 3 to verse 8, this is what he meant here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the coming of the Lord, except there come a fall away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that as he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now see where I am going. Remember you know that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. It's God's agenda. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Evil is already begun. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Can you see? When the Holy Ghost is taken away, and we here are taken out of this world, and then shall that wicked be revealed. What will be his end? The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Satan will be let loose. And this one, we know that there is something called evil. When we are taken out of this world, we are the reason. Can't you see that? Even Noah, the world could not be destroyed until Noah entered the ark. So while they were enjoying all those years, they didn't know that they were enjoying the grace of Noah. When he got to Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't know that it was because Lot and his family, they were still in Sodom. They were the salt of Sodom. Noah was the salt of the earth at that time. And immediately Noah was taken away, then they knew what is judgment. And he's saying now, if we are the reason why this world is still worth living, if now we lose the saltiness in us, and the only thing the salt referred to there is love, is tolerance, is God's attributes displayed on earth here. If we lose it, then what will salt us again? What again will salt us? So that you understand why he made this statement. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, that is why he made that statement, verse 4. He said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, can you see? It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Why did he say that? If you lose your salt, if salt lose her savour, what will you use again to salt in it? That is the condition of these ones who have tasted of the heavenly kingdom, the goodness of the Lord, and at the end of it all, you see them performing and then acting like the world, going back to the world. What will you use again? They have seen the power. They have seen God's grace. They have seen the love. They have seen angels. They have heard the voice of God, and they still go back again to the world. That is what Apostle Paul is making us understand in that scripture. And this explains what Christ was talking about, the salt and the light. I pray that you understand. I will take a little break, and then we will continue with the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Shalom.